Good morning, church. Today is a special day because one of our parish interns, Jay Cho, will give his testimony. You know that one of the ways that we form pastors for the future is by having them share with this congregation their whole life story and their spiritual journey up to the moment. And in overcoming a sense of shame and failure and inadequacy, by sharing all that we are with one another, we know that God loves us for who we are and nothing more or less. And to receive the acceptance, the embrace, the love, the unconditional love of a particular congregation then gives our interns, our future pastors, a real life experience of immersion in a loving congregation. And it's out of gratitude for that kind of experience and love that they become pastors and then create the kind of community where everyone feels welcome to share who they are, to know each other at that level, and to love each other through Christ's love. Typically, it takes our pastoral interns about a year to prepare for their testimony. I mean, they could do it in 1 month if they want, but it takes a lot of working out of stuff to come to the point where the intern feels enough courage, security, confidence, and faith to share all this with the congregation. So in that regard, Jay's been here for 1 year. He's right on time, right on schedule. And this is an opportunity not only for us to know Jay more fully, but for us to love Jay more fully. Because when we know somebody more fully, then the love grows with that knowledge. And as we get to know him further today, hopefully that will engender a deeper relationship with all of us. And then he'll love us more deeply too. And that kind of virtuous cycle, we hope, will continue right into ordained ministry for Jay. So we're praying for you, Jay, this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jin, with a wonderful intro. Good morning, church. I've always wanted to say that. My Korean name is Cho Jae-jin. My uncle, a missionary pastor, gave me the English name John Cho when I first immigrated to the United States to help me fit in. People call me Jay around here, however, as I was encouraged to go by my Korean name since there are a number of Johns here, including the internship coordinator, John Nelson. I have been here for about 1 year now as the parish resident intern. I was a mess when I first came to Church of All Nations, extremely indecisive, insecure, and afraid that I made the wrong decision in coming here. I had a defensive posture with everyone, including the staff, and especially with Pastor Jin. I felt justified in my defensive posture because I felt like a victim of my life circumstances and especially of those who I felt led me to make poor decisions. I resented everyone, including my parents, my former Korean church that I served for many years, and the seminary I graduated from because it took me several more years to complete than I had initially anticipated. Life was extra irritable due to my poor health and chronic sleep deprivation. As a result, I made unwise decisions which caused me to accumulate a lot of debt. I found myself utterly and completely helpless and knew something was seriously wrong with me. I could not identify on my own what I was feeling. One day, a friend from Seattle invited me to Princeton to check out an English ministry or EM pastors conference. Since all travel and lodging expenses were covered by a full scholarship, I decided this would be a great way to network with other EM pastors around the country and to check out the much praised and respected Princeton Seminary. Princeton was beautiful as I expected, but what I did not anticipate was meeting an EM pastor that really understood the context of ministry in the United States at the national, systemic, and cultural levels. I finally got to meet Pastor Jin after taking a break from playing basketball. I became really interested in interning at his church after a great conversation. Pastor Jin came to visit Seattle while I was discerning my future in my final year at Regent College. And it was then that I knew that God was calling me to this congregation. I am here with you now because all of you have welcomed me and loved me into the Can family. Now I would like to share my testimony. My parents longed to come to the U.S. to experience the American dream. My father especially, knowing that his older brother had become wealthy here. My father was a captain in the Korean Army, and my mother was a secretary at a prominent bank in Seoul. My parents worked in many businesses since coming to America, from running a grocery to selling jewelry, women's handbags, travel, pizza, Chinese food, and teriyaki. My parents currently run a grocery store in Stanwood, Washington, where Eugene Peterson was born, author of the Message Bible. I also have a younger brother who is finishing up his master's degree in geography information systems at Seoul National University. We immigrated from Seoul, Korea to Los Angeles in 1982 to experience the American dream. However, it turned out to be just an illusion because it didn't come true for us. My parents won't fully admit this because of the shame of failure in the Korean culture. But I felt their despair growing up. They left a good life for one that became full of tragedy. When I was 6 years old, I had pain on the side of my neck. My mother believed it was a toothache, so we went to the dentist and found out it was something much more serious. The dentist recommended that my mother take me to UCLA General Hospital to get a full facial panoramic x-ray. The results showed that I had two golf ball-sized tumors on the side of my neck. I was so afraid to have surgery because at the time I believed only old people had surgery. I was also afraid to be in the hospital for a whole month as they prepared me for surgery while doing multiple tests, poking and prodding me every single day with tubes all over me. This traumatic experience as a child made me extremely fearful of life in general. I didn't want to do anything that would put my life in danger, and I always made up worst-case scenarios in my mind of what could happen that would lead me to death. It didn't help that I was intrigued by the horror movies I watched frequently as a kid, and my cousin, who was a few years older, always ended up renting R-rated movies. My way of escaping from reality was through watching lots of TV rather than interacting with real people on a daily basis. I also believe that where I lived affected my sense of feeling safe and secure. As my parents' various businesses continued to fail, we ended up living in poor neighborhoods, eventually landing in the projects of Los Angeles. Bloods and Crip gangs would fight all the time in the apartments we ended up living in. I would run home as quickly as possible to avoid them. In fifth grade, there was a class called GAP, Gang Awareness Program, to inform us of the dangers of joining a gang. It was common for kids as young as 12 being initiated into a gang. One day, as my parents were selling jewelry at the swap meet, they were robbed of $100,000 worth of jewelry. They didn't have any insurance to cover the losses, so they soon decided to leave Los Angeles for Seattle, believing it would be better for the family, especially keeping us away from gangs and into a safer environment. The troubles continued in Seattle, however, as my father battled his own health issues. He could not work for a while because he needed surgery. My mother had to work full-time so that our family could stay afloat. My father's ambition for the American dream grew once again. once he recovered. And he continued his adventurous ways. We moved all over the West Coast to find the perfect business opportunity. From Southern California to Seattle, back to California, then to Alaska, and finally back to Seattle. These moves and the trauma of not knowing where I was going to be next made me feel insecure and made me feel like something was wrong with our family. The place I wanted to escape the most was school. I absolutely dreaded school because I felt the pressure to perform and get A's to honor my parents. I always felt a lot of fear and anxiety when I had to show my father the report card, not knowing what would happen to me. He was angry when I had anything less than an A minus. Also, I was often bullied for being the new Asian kid, and it didn't help that I was really short and skinny. This was difficult because I wanted so desperately to be liked, but didn't know how to build friendships as the new kid. It was hard to go to 3 different elementary schools and 3 different high schools in 3 different states. Looking back, I can now see why I am so undereducated. I didn't learn well in school because I was so fearful and never felt comfortable or safe in my environment. My mind was always preoccupied with worry about getting picked on, getting yelled at my father for not getting good enough grades, and wondering why I didn't have any friends. I have lived my life to survive instead of living life fully because I had been uprooted so many times. Being an introvert made it even more difficult because it took me forever to make friends. My goal was just to survive life rather than to enjoy life to the fullest. I was so concerned about appearances and how others perceived me that I could never do what I really wanted to do. I had a severe people-pleasing complex because I did not know any other way to get people to care for me. This also led to passive-aggressive tendencies. The only place I enjoyed during this time was the church. But now I realize it was more of a place to escape rather than a place I could worship God for God's sake. The church became a Korean cultural ghetto, a place where I felt comfortable seeing people that looked like me. Now I see, however, that the church was also a place where I could hide all my sins and show others how holy I was in order to be accepted by a community. It was a place where I could hide my shame and pretend to be innocent, even though I am through and through a sinner and a hypocrite. It was the place where I could exploit others to love me despite my narcissistic tendencies. I ended up serving others in order to gain respect and love from my peers and my parents. I distinctly remember going to church because all of my cousins were there, and we always hang out and have fun going to summer camp and VBS together. Essentially, church was a Korean family gathering rather than a true church family. I remember when I first interacted with members at Church of All Nations. I would talk to people that were the furthest from the leaders and staff of the church because of my lack of trust. My insecurities led me to find friends who had a similar mindset so that I felt justified in my judgment towards the leadership of this church. My fearful and suspicious attitude created volatile relationships with many of you, and I am truly sorry. However, over time, I saw the truth changing me rather than the lies in my head. I saw how foolish it was to judge another person rather than reconcile with him or her, even if it meant lots of pain and suffering along the way. In order for me to grow and heal, I was constantly challenged by staff and Pastor Jin in particular that I did not need to keep living a life that didn't work, but could choose to live life without fear. I realized that all my judgments were based on my fear of being wronged and my desire to be right. I was ultimately concerned about my reputation, even though Jesus did not care about that, and was considered a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of sinners in his day. In the beginning of my internship, I had to process many of my interactions within the church community with my internship coordinator, John Nelson, because I was so sensitive and fearful. My posture was to protect myself at all costs, especially my own reputation and understanding. However, over time, I didn't need someone to process things with me all the time. Instead, I was able to talk directly with the person I had issues with. Challenging interactions eventually gave way to my growing ability to identify misunderstandings and to forgive and reconcile. I am truly grateful for the many genuine and mutually respectful friendships in this church that I now enjoy today. I've shared with many of you close to me that I have sleep issues. I'm even afraid to fall asleep. That is how much I have let fear dictate my life. I have lived my life in fear, always worrying about why I don't have friends, or I would question why I'm not married, why I don't have a high-paying job, etc. I was so focused on myself and my shortcomings, which were measured against both Korean and American values or cultural values, that it was impossible for me to be content with myself. I now realize that when I began this internship, I cared more about worldly things than Christian things. This would have carried over to my pastoral ministry in the church, caring more about achievement than the fruit of God's Spirit, looking good on the outside rather than transforming people. This is why Pastor Jin had to confront me about why I felt called to be a pastor. I didn't know who I was, which made me follow my parents' direction in life rather than knowing and counting the cost of what I really wanted. This passivity directly affected the way I loved others. My goal was to attract people to like me rather than to love me or love them for their sake. I now recognize that this way of living caused more harm than good to me and everyone else. My focus in life was more about what can God and others do for me rather than what I can do for God and neighbor. Essentially, I lived with an entitlement mentality caused by my victim mentality. One of the most surprising things I have learned through the church is how much the notion of perfectionism has infiltrated our lives in the United States, including those who are Korean. This has caused many of our mental health issues because we never feel good enough in who we are and the work we do. Reading books in the internship program, like The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Binding the Strong Man by Ched Myers, and The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, has helped me see just how interconnected we are in our humanity. My sin is another sin, and another sin is my sin. This also means that my own well-being is connected to the well-being of others, and the well-being of others is connected to my own well-being. In an intimate Christian community, we are able to grow more Christ-like and share with one another all of our gifts and brokenness. Cheap grace is not enough, since it only justifies the sin of another and perpetuates our broken state. Instead, we need a costly grace that transforms people. This takes a willingness to sacrifice for another by speaking and acting in truth, no matter how much one may suffer. One of the most important lessons that Pastor Jin has taught me is to value true humility and wisdom, opening me up to learn from another without judgment. I was blocked from this by my Confucian mentality, which I received from my Korean upbringing. I believed that older people automatically had more wisdom and that men should be respected more than women. I realized just how far I was in understanding true humility by the way I treated myself poorly, which also hurt others by false humility. I have hurt people by arguing that I was more mature because of my age. But I see now that true humility means that I don't compete with others, but rather work collaboratively with others. I need to be able to lift others up without feeling that I am any less. I don't need to feel inadequate and value false humility anymore. I can empty myself because I have stored so much goodness in me, and I know that God will continue to pour out his love and blessings into my life. I also realize now that the family dynamics I grew up in were unhealthy for a child, since my parents were away from home for 12 hours a day just to make ends meet. I took responsibility from an early age to keep my younger brother and myself entertained through watching television. This made me view life and other people more in terms of fantasy than reality. Through this and our constant moves as a family, I started to believe that life is always greener on the other side. I have been so confused in who I am because I've never been content long enough in one place to get to know myself through an intimate community. Fortunately, Pastor Jin and all of you were not afraid to correct me and speak the truth in love by your words and actions. There were many times I felt ashamed, embarrassed, and humiliated, while also cared for, loved, and cherished. I have been able to discover my own identity because of your honesty and who you are. I am not the same person I used to be because I am choosing to live into a different narrative. I am amazed how non-anxious many of you are and how generous you have been to me in my time here. I am amazed at how this church really cares for each other, even in the little ways we help each other move and paint rooms. I'm amazed how Paul Kim, one of the deacons, offered to house me for free, even though he didn't know me, but simply because he has genuine faith. I am amazed how involved Pastor Jin is with every aspect of people's lives when invited to do so, and how he has been such a spiritual father to me along with being a mentor. So many of you have sacrificed your time, your resources, and your life for me, and I thank you for your generosity. Through your faithfulness, I was able to apologize to my parents a couple months ago when I visited them in Seattle for blaming and judging them all my life. I forgave them for the decisions they made in my childhood, recognizing there were circumstances that they had no control over. I had deep compassion for them and cared for them in the ways I learned from Can, which helped me forgive them so that I can grow up to be an adult Christian. My journey here has been full of joys and sorrows. This is the fruit of engaging fully with those around me. I am starting to grow in real relationships because I am willing to open up more vulnerably and honestly with those around me by trusting in God and people more, while also becoming more aware of my victim mentality and my tendency to please people. I am grateful to be here more than ever because I find myself being transformed. I can honestly say, for the first time in my life, I am comfortable in my own skin. I feel like I have a real identity in Christ. Essentially, I feel like a normal human being. I'm not afraid of the things I used to be afraid of, such as my future, my singleness, my career, taking ordination exams, etc. Through this church, I now realize how much I have been living into Korean cultural Christianity, which stems from male patriarchy, Confucianism, shamanism, and docetism. I was deceived in what it meant to be a real Christian. But I can now open my eyes and see the Korean church of my youth with compassion. What I learned growing up was a Christian piety that values church attendance, prayer, and gathering for worship rather than living the fruits of the Spirit that bears loving people and living life in the present. You have shown me another way. I recently had an encounter with Pastor Jin that revealed I still have much to learn as I think about my future. I asked him what he thought of me applying for a prominent EM position in a historic Korean Presbyterian church. He was very open and frank and said that I was not ready yet, because of how much more I needed to learn and grow in order to persevere faithfully in ministry. I was self-deceived, however, and believed that I could learn once I got there and other people would be willing to help me. The other problem was that Pastor Jin also mentioned that his good childhood friend was the staffing person at this particular church, and he recommended KC for the position. I was really upset at the time because I thought I was much more qualified than KC for this position. Sorry, KC. Ultimately, I didn't trust Pastor Jin's judgment and decided not to tell him that I had already applied for the position. The next day, he called me and was upset that I did not inform him of this earlier. Instead, he heard from his friend that KC and I both applied. I realized I hurt him and sincerely apologized for betraying him and embarrassing him before his friend. Finally, I told him that I don't know what else to do. He told me, "You don't need to do anything. You are forgiven." I knew then that Pastor Jin was a man that truly understood compassion and mercy in the way that Jesus called us to live. I thank God for these painful interactions and life tragedies, because through failure and suffering, I have learned to have deeper compassion for others and myself. I chose this passage today because my life has been a storm full of fear, like the disciples, both in reality and in my mind. My mind was full of fantasy rather than reality. My mind was full of lies rather than the truth. My mind was full of myself rather than the love of God and others, which has caused me to experience the rotten fruit of fear. However, you have been Christ to me by rebuking the winds and my fears, by loving me, caring for me, and speaking the truth into my life. As a result, I can be calm enough to realize that I have nothing to worry about. I can start living by faith. I don't have to hide or be afraid of my childhood traumas anymore. It's taken me 33 years to confront my fears. Interestingly, Jesus died at the age of 33, which means that for me, I can truly begin to live for the first time at the age of 33. This is good news, indeed. I have the opportunity to live courageous faith as Christ transforms me every day. Thank you, Can, for being such a loving and patient community, for teaching me this important life lesson, for helping me be nothing less than a genuine Christian, and for giving me a shot at being a true pastor and a shepherd of God's people. Amen.
When I think about myself and Jay and all of us pastor types, I remember a couple of things. Jesus is our shepherd. That means we're the sheep, and those of you who know anything about farm life know that sheep are the dumbest animals on the farm. So we are cute and cuddly things, praise God, in God's sight. We're also really dumb and stubborn, and it just shows the magnitude of God's love and grace that God receives us this way. We earthly shepherds are God's dumb sheep too. And also that God chose 12 uneducated, not connected losers to be his 12 prime disciples. So all of us fit that category too. And in the seminary denominational industrial complex that we have today, we try to pick the best and the brightest against the model that Jesus set. All of these people who have all of these credentials and IQ and giftedness and all that, and see if we can put the best and brightest in pulpits. And that's just not how it works in the real church. And so we celebrate the gifts that God has given to us, but in our internship program, we really try to put the person first and have the gifts supplement who we really are, so that us at our core being is in love with God, and in that state, through God, loves God's people. And in that regard, I think Jay has an incredibly bright future. We've had very ordinary people come through our internship program. People like Jeremiah and Jude and Paul, and they are doing incredible ministry in their places. Risley, too, most recently. Because if we love, then that's it. The capacity to love is what it means to be a Christian. And Jay has demonstrated his capacity to receive love now from our congregation and to give love in extraordinary ways. I know that I'm the primary beneficiary of Jay's growing capacity to love. So I'm so grateful to God. I love Jay so much, and I know this congregation does too. And I really do think Jay has a very bright future, but he's not fully done, you know, maybe like medium rare. But we want at least to be medium well before we send people off. So we're going to pray for that. We're going to continue to train him and love him and advocate for him so that he has years and years, decades of fruitful ministry. And we believe that that will happen. I'm going to ask our internship coordinator, John Nelson, to come and say a pastor prayer for Jay.
All right, I'll invite you to stretch out your hands and as we offer a prayer for Jay. Gracious God, I give you thanks for Jay this morning, for his presence with our community over this past year, and for the ways that he has continually opened his life up to us in new ways. We thank you for his enthusiasm, for his honesty, for his deep love for you, and for his growing love for your people as well. And we pray for him, especially this morning, as he has opened up his life to us in new ways. We pray that your hand of healing through your Spirit would continue to be on him for the deeper wounds in his past, and that you would redeem those things, Lord, and teach him through those, and give him new insights so that he can care and love other people even more deeply. God, we thank you for the pain that he has experienced, because it gives him an opportunity to connect with people in a way that others of us cannot. So, Lord, we pray that you would help him to use those things in his life and his ministry, to love those that you have called him to love. And while he is with us, to teach us new things, to lead us now in the months ahead as he practices and prepares and is nurtured for pastoral ministry. We thank you for all that is going on in his life right now, for just moving through his ordination exams again this past weekend, for the chance to do a testimony. And now, Lord, we look forward to seeing the fruits of all of that. Help us to be a community, to be the body of Christ to him as well in the months to come. And thank you that we can enjoy and celebrate and suffer and mourn all of these things together as a family, as a community, as your body. So be with Jay now. We lift all these things up in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
And a couple of